Have you ever wondered why you react so intensely to certain situations, even when your rational mind knows better? Perhaps you find yourself clinging desperately to partners trying to leave, experiencing inexplicable anxiety during work presentations, or feeling overwhelming dread triggered by seemingly random stimuli like the color red. These puzzling reactions aren't character flaws or signs of weakness. They're the result of how our brains store and process memories. Dr. Francine Shapiro's groundbreaking work, Getting Past Your Past, has transformed trauma treatment worldwide, with over 100,000 therapists trained in her EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing methodology across 90 countries. This revolutionary approach has earned endorsements from celebrities like Sandra Bullock and humanitarian organizations like the World Health Organization, which recognizes EMDR as a first-line treatment for trauma. What makes Shapiro's work so powerful is her discovery that our brains don't always naturally process difficult experiences, leaving us with undigested memories that continue to shape our reactions years or even decades later. And her development of techniques that finally allow us to process these memories and free ourselves from their grip. Our brains and bodies function according to remarkably similar principles across all humans. When we encounter new experiences, our brains automatically connect them to existing memory networks containing similar information. These networks, formed throughout our lives, but especially in childhood, become the foundation for how we perceive ourselves and the world around us. This automatic processing happens outside our conscious awareness. Think about how you automatically complete roses are red with violets are blue, without considering whether roses are always red, they're not, or if violets truly blue, they're actually purple. Our brains form countless other automatic responses that govern our emotions, thoughts, and behaviors in similar ways. These responses aren't random, but physically stored in neural networks forming our unconscious mind. Consider Justine, who repeatedly chooses emotionally unavailable men and clings desperately when they leave. Her behavior traces back to being 6 years old during a thunderstorm when her parents couldn't hear her cries for help. This unprocessed memory remains stored with the intense fear and abandonment she felt then, automatically triggering when boyfriends break up with her. She doesn't react as a mature 25-year-old, but as a frightened, abandoned child. Similarly, Ben's presentation anxiety persisted despite his business success. His palms would sweat, voice become unpredictable, and heart race, while thoughts like, "I'm an idiot," flooded his mind. Through EMDR therapy, he discovered this stemmed from when he was just 12 years old, encountering a frightening stranger who threatened to drown him in the creek for talking too much. This childhood terror, combined with later humiliations during school presentations, created an automatic response pattern that persisted for 40 years. We all exist on a continuum of suffering and happiness. While conditions like PTSD have specific diagnostic criteria, recent studies show everyday experiences, like relationship problems or unemployment, can produce just as many symptoms. The common thread is that memories remain unprocessed in the brain, making the past feel present and causing persistent negative emotions, beliefs, and behaviors. Our brains contain a natural information processing system designed to heal emotional turmoil. This process often occurs during REM sleep, allowing us to digest difficult experiences and extract valuable lessons while letting go of negative emotions. However, overwhelming experiences can disrupt the system, causing memories to become stored in their original, unprocessed form, complete with the original images, emotions, physical sensations, and thoughts. These isolated, unintegrated memories can then be triggered by similar situations in the present, causing immediate distress that seems disproportionate. This explains why time alone doesn't heal all wounds. Unprocessed memories remain frozen in time, becoming the foundation for emotional and sometimes physical problems. EMDR therapy began with Shapiro's chance discovery in 1987 when she noticed disturbing thoughts disappearing after eye movements. After testing with volunteers and refining her approach, she conducted formal research with PTSD patients, publishing groundbreaking results in 1989. Despite initial controversy, EMDR gained scientific validation through over 20 controlled studies and recognition from organizations worldwide. The therapy evolved to include various bilateral stimulation methods, eye movements, taps or tones, and comprehensive treatment protocols that not only reduce emotional distress, but also reprocess memories, connecting them with adaptive information and transforming negative beliefs. Brain imaging studies reveal EMDR actually changes brain physiology. Research shows the hippocampus, which shrinks in PTSD patients, can regrow by 6% after 8 to 12 EMDR sessions. In EMDR therapy, the client focuses on disturbing memories while the clinician guides eye movements, allowing spontaneous connections to emerge. Lynn's session demonstrates this process. Starting with an earthquake memory, her brain revealed connections to childhood trauma where her brother molested her and her father betrayed her trust. By session's end, Lynn's perception transformed from feeling powerless to recognizing her capability, with the earthquake memory no longer triggering distress, but instead evoking laughter. Our personalities are shaped by both genetics and memory networks that determine our typical responses in different situations. Unprocessed memories form the foundation of negative responses and behaviors, while processed memories support adaptive, positive ones. This explains why we might behave differently in various contexts. Our responses reflect the specific memory networks activated in each setting. When two people with unprocessed trauma interact, their unconscious memory networks can create destructive patterns. Barry and Trudy's marriage illustrates this. His passivity, triggered by childhood memories of parental arguments, met her anger stemming from childhood neglect. Barry's attempts to please his demanding wife mirrored his strategy to avoid his father's abuse, while Trudy's increasing demands reflected her childhood attempts to get her withdrawn mother's attention. Neither response was rational. They were automatic reactions from unprocessed memories that were destroying their relationship despite their love for each other. Our responses to current situations are heavily influenced by past experiences encoded in memory networks. Even in supportive families, childhood vulnerabilities can create unprocessed memories that stay emotionally hot regardless of time passed. When present situations link to these networks, childhood emotions arise unconsciously, preventing adult responses. Traumatic experiences can occur at any age, like Meg, whose father's contempt over a sunburn during their only teenage meeting created 20 years of social anxiety and self-consciousness. Our brains constantly make unconscious connections that guide our choices and reactions, determining whether we respond appropriately to present reality or remain controlled by past memories. Since unprocessed memories can trigger anxiety, fear, sadness, anger, or insecurity without our understanding why, it's important to have techniques to manage disturbance when it arises. This gives us balance to explore our past while keeping one foot in the present. The safe or calm place technique increases access to positive memory networks containing pleasurable experiences. Begin by identifying a positive image from your past with no negative associations, like a beach, forest, or mountaintop that holds only good memories. Bring up this image, notice colors and sensations, and identify a single word, like peaceful or forest, to label the experience. Practice pairing the image with this word, strengthening the connection between them. When disturbed, you can use this technique to shift back to feelings of safety or calm. When practicing your safe place exercise, notice your breathing pattern when feeling calm. Place your hand over the part of your stomach or chest where your breath begins. When stressed, breathing typically moves higher in the body. By consciously returning to your relaxed breathing pattern, you can shift back to a calmer state. Bilateral stimulation can enhance the positive feelings of your safe place. Try tapping your hands alternately on your thighs 4 to 6 times slowly, or use the butterfly hug technique, crossing your arms with hands on opposite shoulders, then tapping alternately. Bring up your safe place image and word, then add these taps to reinforce the positive state. For negative self-talk, try the cartoon character technique. When your mind criticizes you, imagine that critical voice sounding like a cartoon character with a funny voice, Donald Duck, Daffy Duck, or Popeye. For most people, the disturbing feelings disappear because these cartoons have such pleasant, funny associations that the negative can't persist. Most people seek therapy because of present problems, not because they recognize childhood wounds. They're doing, feeling, or thinking something destructive they can't stop and believe their past should be irrelevant, which only increases their sense of failure. The mystery to be solved is why they can't control their responses despite knowing better. People often view past experiences as mere learning opportunities they should have outgrown, wondering what's wrong with them when negative patterns persist. The issue lies in unprocessed memories physiologically stored in the brain, containing emotions and sensations from the original events. These memories generate negative thoughts and feelings whenever triggered, explaining why successful adults might suddenly behave like children when talking to family members. Most symptoms, negative characteristics, and disturbing emotions stem from unprocessed memories stored in the brain. In EMDR therapy, the earliest unprocessed memory establishing a problem pattern is called a touchstone memory. When triggered by current situations, these memories cause us to experience the world through distorted perceptions, as if our younger self is telling us what to do. To identify problematic memories, start by examining recent disturbing events. If gathering information or taking specific action won't resolve your distress, and if your reactions seem disproportionate compared to others in similar situations, unprocessed memories may be involved. For example, one client's extreme anger at workplace incompetence stemmed from Vietnam War experiences where mistakes meant death. Another's came from childhood classroom humiliation. The affect scan technique helps identify connections between current triggers and past memories by focusing on emotions and physical sensations. The process involves identifying the most disturbing part of a recent incident, noting associated emotions, physical sensations, and negative thoughts, then allowing your mind to scan back to childhood memories with similar feelings. Negative cognitions are particular kinds of negative beliefs identified in EMDR therapy to access memories needing processing. For John, whose work functioning was impaired by rage and low expectations, the belief, "I'm a failure," connected to childhood beatings by his father. After processing these memories, his rages stopped and his negative self-perception transformed into, "I can be a success." Our bodies can feel like both friends and betrayers, with physical responses often seeming beyond our control. The interconnection between brain, body, and mind means that physical issues may actually stem from unprocessed memories. Psychosomatic doesn't mean problems are imaginary. The brain controls the body, and mental stress demonstrably affects cardiac, respiratory, and immune systems. Carl suffered for 30 years from mysterious symptoms, lightheadedness, shakiness, sweating, dizziness, and vomiting that no doctor could diagnose or treat. These symptoms disrupted his entire life, affecting his ability to play sports, take tests, speak publicly, attend social functions, and even maintain relationships with his wife and children. After decades of suffering, Carl discovered he had a panic disorder triggered by unprocessed childhood memories related to moving to a new school and pressure to fit in. Childhood asthma can sometimes be traced to maternal stress and bonding issues. 7-month-old Gianna suffered from severe asthma, requiring multiple medications and ER visits. Her mother, Juanita, had experienced significant trauma during pregnancy, hiding it from her disapproving religious family, feeling unsupported when they refused to attend her wedding, and experiencing a difficult C-section birth that separated her from her newborn. After processing these traumatic memories in therapy, Juanita experienced newfound happiness and love. Remarkably, her daughter's asthma symptoms completely disappeared and remained absent a year later. Phantom limb pain affects approximately 80% of the 1.6 million Americans who've lost limbs, with half experiencing chronic, intense pain that resists painkillers. Rather than being imaginary, these sensations represent the actual experience stored in unprocessed memory. Jim, a Marine whose leg was amputated after an accident, suffered multiple pain sensations, including excruciating sawing pain rated 10 out of 10. After just 4 EMDR therapy sessions targeting memories of his accident, nearly all his pain vanished, along with his PTSD and depression. Even seemingly unrelated medical conditions can have memory roots, as with Aaron, whose leg numbness returned 30 years after a Vietnam War protest beating. Processing revealed this wasn't just his injury recurring, but connected to childhood trauma of hearing his concentration camp survivor uncle's vivid stories, which he had absorbed as his own memories. After a year of processing these interconnected traumas, Aaron progressed from walker to cane to walking unassisted. Why can't we get along with family, friends, or coworkers? Our relationships often trigger feelings of being wounded, misunderstood, discounted, or unappreciated. We want others to see us and respect our needs, but relationships become a complex balancing act of different perspectives and sometimes bottomless pain that emerges unexpectedly. Family therapists believe changing interaction patterns can heal relationships, but unprocessed childhood memories often create resistance to change, locking people into patterns they can't control despite their best intentions. Understanding the origins of our actions becomes crucial for meaningful change. Relationship patterns often reflect attachment styles developed in childhood. Alexandra, a 37-year-old woman with 2 divorces behind her, was stuck in an unhappy 5-year relationship with Joe, whom she couldn't live with and couldn't live without. She complained he either criticized or ignored her, yet she couldn't speak up for herself, thinking, "What's the use?" Her childhood explained everything. As the youngest of 4, she was criticized by her mother, ignored by her father, and bullied by brothers who escaped blame. Her parents' dismissive attachment style, uncomfortable with closeness and emotions, taught Alexandra to suppress her needs and feelings of unworthiness. Through therapy, she processed these childhood experiences, finally left Joe, and developed a healthier sense of self-worth. When our relationships falter, childhood patterns often emerge. Alexandra learned to accept mistreatment to avoid rejection, while George became hypercritical like his refugee parents. George's father humiliated family members for perceived shortcomings, teaching George that nothing was ever good enough. This triggered George's core beliefs of, "I'm not good enough" and "I can't trust others," causing him to lash out critically at girlfriends who didn't meet his expectations. Through therapy, George processed his childhood anger and recognized his parents' limitations, allowing him to engage in relationships as a healthy adult rather than a wounded child. Domestic abuse represents extreme manifestations of unprocessed memories driving destructive behavior. Verbal violence, intimidation, threats, belittlement can be as devastating as physical abuse. Abusive patterns often emerge only after commitment deepens and intimacy triggers old wounds. People remain in abusive relationships due to their own trauma histories, though financial hardship and cultural expectations can also play roles. Understanding those who harm others is essential not just for justice, but for prevention. While we naturally want to blame people who repeatedly hurt others without apparent empathy, understanding the root causes of destructive behavior is crucial for creating change. These individuals operate from automatic responses driven by unconscious processes, not an excuse for their actions, but a recognition that perpetrators are part of humanity's fabric. Antisocial behavior often begins in childhood, with bad seeds who act out in school seeming unreachable. Gary, a school counselor, encountered 6-year-old Zach, who was repeating kindergarten due to physically assaulting other children, behavior that often leads to lifelong problems. After Gary learned EMDR therapy, everything changed. During one session when Zach threw toys around the room, Gary used EMDR processing with hand taps, which unlocked Zach's deep emotions about his imprisoned parents. This processing helped Zach connect his feelings to memories, allowing him to express rather than act out his pain. Within weeks, his behavior improved dramatically. Addiction often stems from untreated trauma and contributes to other destructive behaviors. While genetic predisposition may exist, life events typically trigger substance abuse patterns. Some people turn to substances when overwhelmed by emotions they cannot bear, perhaps modeling parents' coping mechanisms or discovering temporary relief through experimentation. Despite wanting to stop and knowing they hurt others, addicted individuals often feel powerless until hitting rock bottom. Tom's story illustrates this journey. After his brother's death, when he jumped from their moving truck during an argument, Tom spiraled deeper into substance abuse. Despite multiple arrests and treatment attempts, he continued using until entering the Drug Court's EMDR trauma treatment program. By addressing his core issues, Tom transformed his life, paying off debts, regaining his license, saving his home, and rebuilding his family relationships. His story demonstrates that even after decades of addiction, recovery is possible with proper treatment of the underlying trauma. Child sexual abuse affects approximately 20% of girls and 10% of boys worldwide, yet traditional treatments for perpetrators show disappointing results. EMDR therapy has shown promising results by helping perpetrators process their own childhood trauma. Kevin's story demonstrates how EMDR helped him recognize his victim's perspective. "I had no understanding of feelings, of my own feelings. To be able to understand theirs, I had to really be able to understand mine." Life's challenges push us in directions causing pain and unhappiness, but dealing with them directly can liberate us. While we cannot control our genetics or childhood experiences, research shows stress can negatively affect our genes and brain, even shortening our lifespan. The primary cause is often unprocessed memories running our lives, but we can learn to take control of our bodies and minds without years of therapy. Frank's case illustrates how unprocessed childhood memories can create lifelong problems. At 55, he suffered from headaches, forgetfulness, angry outbursts, insecurity, diabetes, high blood pressure, and chronic pain. A controlling people-pleaser with low self-esteem and fear of abandonment, Frank had been married 3 times and desperately wanted his current marriage to succeed. Using the float-back technique revealed a touchstone memory. At age 5, his mother left him at his grandparents for 5 months without explanation, shortly after his parents divorced. Through reprocessing, Frank realized his mother's departure wasn't rejection, but necessity. He saw her anguish when leaving. This insight dramatically changed his self-acceptance and relationships. His symptoms disappeared, allowing him to address his physical health issues that had developed as coping mechanisms. Sometimes, simply understanding what underlies our issues can be enough to resolve them. Jolene, happily married for nearly 30 years, found herself inexplicably snapping at her husband, Alan, whenever he asked questions. Using the float-back technique on her feelings of, "it's all on me," she discovered she was experiencing an anniversary reaction to when she had to single-handedly move her mother to a nursing home the previous year, right before her mother died. This realization alone allowed her processing connections to form naturally, and her irritability disappeared. Mental health requires the same attention as physical health. Research shows that 30 minutes of exercise, 5 days a week, and omega-3 fatty acids can help relieve depression. In some studies, regular exercise was as effective as antidepressants. Daily stress accumulation requires monitoring and intervention before becoming overwhelming. A stress reduction sequence initially designed for people in terrorist-affected areas can help everyone living with high stress. When facing presentation anxiety, you can shift from anxiety to excitement through mindset changes. Recognize that bodily arousal is preparation for a challenge, not necessarily anxiety. Sports psychologists now use intensity rather than anxiety to remove negative connotations. Focus on positive contributions you'll make, manage intensity through breathing techniques, and physically embody confidence through posture. Straighten shoulders, lift chin, and smile. Understanding our patterns isn't about blame. Our parents were shaped by their experiences too, often going back generations. We may have inherited ways of viewing people that disconnect us from our common humanity. Examining these hidden influences helps us make better life choices. Helene's story demonstrates how we can overcome personal and familial histories. Despite receiving a college scholarship, she developed substance abuse problems until friends' deaths prompted her to seek treatment. Though she stayed clean, depression and anxiety persisted until EMDR therapy helped her process childhood trauma from her alcoholic Aunt Jan's abuse. By researching her family history, she discovered generations of shame, oppression, racism, homophobia, and gender discrimination. This understanding helped Helene realize she could break the cycle by staying safe and sane herself while providing guidance to younger family members and advocating for oppressed populations professionally. Those who've experienced bullying or exclusion for being different understand the trapped feeling and lasting damage to confidence. The situation worsens when adults in power make negative comments based on skin color, religion, gender, or culture. Despite technology bringing the world closer, fear of the other persists in daily news and endless wars. The solution lies within us. Whether we've been perpetrators or victims, making the world different starts with internal change. Loss through violence can generate anger and revenge that feeds cycles of war across generations. A Pakistani clinician treated children of a high-ranking official killed by a suicide bomber. The son wanted to join militants for revenge, while the daughter became mute. Through grief work and EMDR therapy over 4 weeks, both recovered. Together, they built a hospital in their father's village to help survivors of terrorism, transforming their revenge into humanitarian service, demonstrating how healing allows our natural information processing system to learn what's useful and let go of the rest. After Hurricane Paulina devastated a Mexican town, EMDR HAP clinicians arrived to help traumatized children using the butterfly hug technique. Two brothers watched from a distance. 18-year-old Hector, who had lost both arms after saving his brother Carlos from raging floodwaters that claimed their parents and two younger siblings. When Carlos asked how his armless brother could perform the healing technique, the clinician had Carlos stand behind Hector's wheelchair, placing his cheek against his brother's while crossing his arms over Hector's chest to perform the butterfly hug. Together, they process their trauma, transforming from despair to deep love in what the clinician called the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. The willingness to comfort others is a universal human trait. The author shares a powerful story of clinicians at a beach training who, when several swimmers were caught in a rip current, formed a human chain by linking arms to rescue those being pulled out to sea. This metaphor illustrates humanitarian assistance programs worldwide, people linking arms so no one drowns alone in darkness.